But he said, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, and the title of this message today is Be Strong. If you're taking notes, which I highly encourage you to do, and if you know me, most of you know me in here, I share a lot of scripture, so we'll be going through a lot of scripture. They'll be all in the PowerPoint, and I don't mind at all emailing you these notes as well so that you may just want to sit and listen today. But I believe out of these 10 things that I'm going to give you today, I believe that one of them, one or two of them is really going to say, the Lord's going to impress upon you, okay, this is what you really need to start doing to apply in your life to receive my strength. Everybody said amen. So you're going to be obedient to whatever that is that the Holy Spirit tells you. But this is why I felt like that we need to talk about this today. We have to be strong as Christians. And you may have came in here today and you feel weak. How many of you ever felt weak before? Boy, I have. And it's okay to feel that way because that's when God's strength can come to you and through you. And so here's the deal is, number one, there are battles in life, all right? I wish I could tell you when you get saved and you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior that there's not going to be any battles or any fights. There's going to be battles. But here's the thing that you got to remember. There will be a fight, but you win. You're already a winner if you'll just read the back of the book. Okay, my dad said something up here in prayer. Jesus said at the cross, it is finished. We win. We won because of what he did at the cross. And then number two, strength is the key to victory. All right, if you're going to have victory in life concerning anything that's going on, you're going to have to be strong. You don't hear about weak people winning. It takes strength, but we receive that strength from God. So strength is the key to victory. If you're gonna win, the battleground is your thought life, all right? And so you've got to get, that's where the strength happens at, all right? You've got to get strong in your mind. Strength is the key to victory. And then number three is our strength affects other people's lives. Your kid, if you're a mom or parent in here, your kids are looking to you for strength, okay? And it's okay to be weak around them. There's been times I was weak around Taya. She saw her dad in weak moments, and then she saw her dad rely upon the Lord, too. And she saw that's where dad gets his strength from. We all need our strength from the Lord. I'm going to just share something with you, very personal today. And did you know that Pastor Martin needs strength? you know, I don't want to say pride myself because that doesn't sound right, but as a pastor, there are times that I feel obligated to be strong, okay? And I can't do that in and of myself. I have to receive that strength from the Lord, and I have to, you know, I come to church every Sunday. Yeah, it's because I'm Pastor Mark. There's been Sundays I don't want to go, okay? Can we just sleep in? You know, those kind of Sundays, and we all have those kind of Sundays. But I know that beyond being the pastor here, that I need to be here because I need to be in the presence of God's people. I need to be in God's presence to receive strength. And I'm sorry, but you can't, and you know, and I said this earlier, but it's okay if you've got a miss. I understand there's family. We have family things. There's going to be family reunions. There's going to be, you know, I've talked to Mark this week. We were talking about this. His ministry is the Traveler Baseball. But we were talking this week, and I was catching up with him the other day. And he said, Pastor, you know, I didn't schedule it this way because I was scheduling it, so I was going to be in church every Sunday. But things happened. Things came up, and I was out for like 3 weeks. And he goes, and I'm feeling it, okay? This is somebody that's plugged into church, that's in leadership, and is up here. And he said, in 3 weeks, I'm feeling it. That I'm missing church. I need that strength. I need to be around God's people. I've been there too. You know, when you miss a couple of weeks, and you're just like, golly, the devil's just beating me from pillar to post. And, you know, my thought life has gone awry and everything. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit, something that happened to me a few weeks ago. And it was because I just hadn't been in the Word. Okay? And I was feeling weak. And something happened, and I had a weak moment in my thought life, and I'm going to share that here in just a second. But we all need each other, and something that somebody does, and I know he won't mind me sharing this, but I know he doesn't want me sharing this, is Dusty. And Dusty is an elder here. He's kind of quiet behind the scenes, but something that he does that I haven't shared with other than my wife is Dusty will send me a text every Sunday morning. And it'll be a scripture reference and then just some little notation to it. And he said this. He said, this is what he sent me this morning. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9, verses 37 through 38. Okay? That really ministered to me because this is also the same scripture that God gave me about planting this church, you know, 19 years ago, and that's where the name Harvest Fellowship Church comes from. And then Dusty says, today is harvest day. It's going to be a great day. Blessings. All right? And when I read that, I was like, you know, this the scripture and that somebody else was thinking about me and about bringing the message today. And I said, Dusty, thank you so much for taking the time to send me these Sunday morning texts. They encourage and strengthen me. I love you more than you know, brother. And then he sent me back Dusty sends me back these crying faces. I love you too, brother. You encourage me every day. but guys, we need each other. That's the point I'm trying to make. And your strength affects other people's lives. And here's why this strengthened me even more when I read this, is because I know what battles that guy's facing and has faced and still facing in his family and different things that are going on around him. And for him to not be so self-focused and he could think about somebody else. Now here's, and I know that sounds pretty strong, but the quickest way for you to receive strength and healing is to, or encouragement, is to bring healing, encouragement, comfort, and strength to someone else. Yes. And that's what we're here to do. And because there's a lot of times I get up here on Sunday morning, I'm like, man, I just feel so weak. I've been beat up this week, and I don't know. Lord, you're going to have to do it. And God shows up every Sunday. And that's, it's going to be another one of these Sundays today, too. But here's the background on this out of Joshua. Joshua, just to give you a little background, he was the one that took the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses had died, and Joshua was going to lead, you know, some scholars say up to 3 million people into the promised land. And I'm going to tell you what, this young man was afraid. He was afraid. And the reason why I know that is because 7 times Joshua was told to be strong. He was afraid. I think you'd be afraid too. I'd be afraid too. Moses is gone. I have nobody to look up to. My mentor, my leader's gone. My pastor's gone. And then God's calling me to lead these people. And there's 7 times in Joshua, and they're in Deuteronomy and Joshua. 4 of them are in Joshua. 3 of them are in Deuteronomy. But 7 times Joshua was told to be strong. 3 times Moses said it. 3 times God said it. And 1 time the children of Israel said it. All right. So we're going to go through these scriptures real quickly and show you. I'm going to show you this. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 7. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 23. Then he inaugurated, Moses inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Okay. Joshua 1, verses 6 through 7, be strong and of good courage. Everybody say, be strong and of good courage. Amen. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? This is our scripture for the day. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Jump down to Joshua 1, verses 17 through 18. Just as we heeded Moses in all these things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he is with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. That's what the children of Israel said to Joshua. Here's the deal. He's heard that 7 times. By this time, I'm thinking, what in the world is about to happen to me, to Joshua? And what was about to happen was a fight. a battle, more than one battle. But he needed to hear, be strong and of good courage because you've already won. And you guys in here, everyone in here are going to face battles and fights in life, but you've already won. And you need to fight from a place of victory and have that mindset too. Yes. All right. Now, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you 10 things real quickly, 10 ways to increase your spiritual strength. I believe in application, life application, okay? Pastor Mark, how do I leave here today? Even though we've been together and we've worshiped and everything, give me ways to increase my spiritual strength. Here's number one, grow in your knowledge of spiritual principles. And how you do that is by being in church, all right? Getting in the Word of God. Proverbs 24, verse 5 says, the wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. I just said this earlier, your church attendance, that's a big thing. You know, the average church attendance today is 1.8 times a month. I don't know how you do that, how you go 1.8 times a month, but that's an average of 2 times a month is the average churchgoer. And, guys, we need more of the Word than that to stay strong. And we need more of being around God's people to stay strong. Can't just get it all from Christian TV. You need to be around the presence of other believers. And we need each other. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's going to be time this summer that I'm going to be taking off a few Sundays. All right? We all need those breaks. We all need, but don't get in a habit of, I reached out to somebody here a while back, and just because I've been missing them in church. See, as a pastor, that's, as a shepherd, you know, if I notice somebody, they're really hit and miss and they've been gone a long time, then I need to reach out to them. And I reached out to him, and this was his reply to me. Pastor Mark, we just got out of the habit of going. And it's real easy to do that. It's real easy to do that. It can happen to anybody. All right, here's number two. Live in God's Word and let His Word live in you. This is, you need to have a daily habit of getting in the Word of God. We have the devotionals that we provide for people. And this is Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's what God told Joshua. Meditate on my word. Live in my word, and let my word live in you, and you're going to be prosperous and successful, and everything's going to go well with you. And everybody said amen. Doesn't mean there's not going to be battles. Doesn't mean there's not going to be fights. But you're going to have that mindset fighting from a place of victory and not a place of defeat. All right, here's number three. And this is give glory to God. And I'm going to explain this here in just a second. We're going to have a little fun with this one, okay? This is Romans 4, verses 18 through 21 out of the Message Bible. It says, when everything was hopeless, and this is talking about Abraham and Sarah, and the birth of Isaac, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Okay, at this point, Abraham is 100, Sarah is 90, and God's saying you're going to have a child. Yeah, right. Okay, and so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. And Abraham, this next slide, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless, all right? I'll let y'all need to look up that word later. This 100 year, I'm not going to explain that in church. I'm going to get too red-faced. This 100-year, he's basically saying it doesn't work. It's not working no more. This 100-year-old body could never... yeah, thank you, Mark. Somebody got it. Somebody, there's no giggles, there's no laughing. Some of them are shocked that I even said that. I can't believe he just said that in church. All right, this 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged, right here, I love this. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. I love that. In Romans 4, verse 20, that was out of the Message Bible, what I read you. This is out of the English Standard Version. It says, he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. So I had to start thinking, how, you know, there's many ways you can give glory to God. You can give glory to God with prayer. You can give glory to God with, you know, singing praises with your mouth, you know, voicing that to God. But I'm gonna hit on something today that we all did, some of us did during worship today, and this is how to give glory to God. And you might want to write this down or remember this, is to lift up your hands. And you might be saying, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Pastor Mark, that if I lift up my hands, I'm going to give glory to God. Yes. There's something spiritual that happens when you lift up your hands to God in worship and give Him glory. You're basically saying, I surrender. God, I love you. It's like you're giving God a hug, okay? It's the Harvest Fellowship Church hug and Hattie time. You know, God, I want to give you a hug. And I'm going to tell you something. That was very foreign to me when I got saved because my background was Baptist, all right? And I'm not knocking the Baptist because I've got that in my background. Thank God for my Baptist background because they put the word in me. Yes. I appreciate my Baptist background. Then I've been to Methodist church. God's had me go to all kinds of churches, and I've learned something about God in every one of them. And all of God's people go, you know, there's God's people, good godly people in every church around here. And I went to a Methodist church one time, saw how they did it. I saw how their pastor got up with the robe on. I was like, I ain't doing that, okay? this is as far as I'm getting to a robe right here. And I'm not knocking the Methodist because there's good Methodist pastors and people in the Methodist church. But I grew up and then I've been to Pentecostal churches, okay? Wow, I've been to some Pentecostal churches. So I've got all the background in me. And I have a friend of mine, she comes here once a year, Amy Downey. I'm a part of her board. She's a Southern Baptist girl, and she just cannot figure me out. And I love it because she can't figure me out. And she goes, Mark, you're Baptist, but then you're also Pentecostal, so you must be Baptist-costal. That's what she calls me, a Baptist-costal. I'm like, no, Amy, I'm a Christian. This is a man that has read the book of Acts, all right? And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But with my Baptist background, guys, it was hard for me to lift my hands during worship. And I do not know why. It was like the dumbest thing. As I was sitting there, I'd be in a service, and I'd see other people doing it. And I was like, man, that looks good to do that. And I'm like, but I just... they won't go up, you know, and because in my Baptist background, the only time that you lifted your hands is when you voted, you know, that's the only time you did it, you know, vote for the carpet or vote for the pastor to be in or out and those kind of things. And so here are, and I've came up with every one of these excuses, and I'm going to share with you four excuses that I've heard about not lifting your hands in church, okay, in the scripture to go. Excuse number one, I'll lift my hands when I get to heaven. Okay, well, this is a precursor to heaven. If you're going to do it in heaven, might as well do it now. Psalms 63:4, I love this. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Amen. All right, here's excuse number two. I lift my heart up. Okay. Lamentations 3:41, let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. There's you a good one. And then here's the other thing that goes with that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your mouth ought to be moving as well, sing and praise and worship too. Excuse number three, the Bible doesn't tell us to lift up our hands in church. Psalms 134:2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. All right, excuse number four. Well, those are Old Testament scriptures, Pastor Mark. 1 Timothy 2:8 says this, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, this is Apostle Paul talking, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'm just going to tell you, this is what I did. For some reason, I could not do it in public, so I began to do it in private, in my private prayer time. I just began to lift up my hands to the Lord and pray that way. And I just realized it did something for me. And then when I got into a worship service, I started doing it. And it got to the point where I realized what my big problem was I was too concerned what about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so thought about me if I was lifting my hands, if I was going to be one of those Jesus freaks, one of those Jesus fanatics. And then I just got to the point where I don't care. because we're all going to be doing this when we get to heaven. In fact, I think we're all going to be prostrate on the, you know, on the ground, you know, worshiping God flat out, you know, and worshiping Him. And so I came up, I found this, I remember Tim Hawkins doing this, so this give you a little heads up. This is the non-denominational guide to official worship signals in church. If you're a rookie, let me see if I can show, if I can do demonstrations. If you're a rookie, you put both hands in your pockets and you do the elbow flap, all right? You do that. And then you can graduate to carry the TV. And then you can go out a little wider and just carry the big screen. Go big screen. All right, that's the rookie. Intermediate, my fish was this big when you're worshiping. And there's, I see Cameron and Taya back there. Here's the next one, hold my baby. Hold my baby, Mufasa. All right, that's the intermediate. And then there's the pro, and this I've seen this in Pentecostal churches, the dueling light bulbs. You know, the dueling light bulbs. And then there's the goalpost heartburn. Goalpost heartburn. And then there's pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Those three. And then if you're an expert, it's Village People, Rocky, touchdown. All right. That's courtesy of Tim Hawkins, a Christian comedian. And it's hilarious, but it's the truth. Because that's how I started out. Rookie, intermediate, and then pro, and then expert. All right, and I promise you guys, and I know that's comical and funny, and I wanted to make it that way because God, I can't even put it in words, but there is something when you start lifting your hands to God and you pray and you worship Him, and it's a complete act of surrender. Okay, moving right along. Number four, keep your joy in God. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In your presence there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And then Psalms 43, verse 4 says, "There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy." God needs to be the source of your joy. Don't let the devil or others steal your joy. Don't let them do it. Don't let the enemy or other people rent space in your head and steal your joy. Do not allow it to happen. All right, here's number five, pray. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Every time you pray, even when you feel like, you know, there's times I'm tired, I don't want to pray. Jada will reach over to me at night. We're laying in bed, and she'll say, "Honey, pray for us." I'm like, "Oh, my God, I'm so tired." And I was just about to fall asleep. So we'll join hands, and we'll pray. But here's what I know, and I have to tell myself, every time we pray, strength comes. Every time we pray, strength. I don't care how tired I am, how physically wore out I am. Every time we pray in the name of Jesus, strength comes. All right, so pray. Pray with your spouse. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Pray in your vehicle. You can pray anywhere. Pray out in the pasture, whatever you're doing. Pray. Just talk to God. Number six is allow God to strengthen you. Allow God to strengthen you. This is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Ephesians 3, verse 16 says, "I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit." And I put an asterisk by this one because I feel like there's somebody here today that needs to hear this. Quit trying to be so strong yourself. Yes. Allow God to strengthen you. That's where your strength comes from. And you're trying to be the man or the woman or whatever it is, you know, and quit trying to do it all yourself. Quit trying to be so strong yourself. Say, "God, I need your strength. I need you." You know, Dusty came up to us today, and we were praying up here. He came up here, and he said, "Hey, I need prayer about this and this." That's what we're supposed to do. Yes. And sometimes we're just like, "Oh, God, He's too busy. I'm going to handle this with myself." No, we need God for every little bee thing in life. He wants you to call upon Him because He wants to give you His strength. I can prove this. This is the next point. Number seven, serve God with a wholehearted commitment. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Did you know that God is looking for somebody to strengthen today? If your heart is turned towards God, he's here today and he wants to give you strength. He's looking for people like that. You know, the reason, and go back to what I said, allow God to strengthen you, and there's some people just, you know, just quit trying to be so strong yourself, was the story of Peter in Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. You know, he was cocky, he was arrogant. He and if you'll look at this story, it's so funny, just a few verses before it, they were actually arguing amongst themselves who was going to be the greatest. And then Jesus shows up, and Jesus says, you know what, Peter? I'm sure Jesus had lots of conversations with Peter, because the Peter before Christ was, you know, I think he cussed a lot. I think he was just outspoken. He was just hard to deal with kind of guy. And so he was arguing with the other disciples who was going to be the greatest, and I'm sure Peter was winning that argument. And Jesus steps in the scene in Luke 22, verse 32, and he tells Peter, he said, Peter, you know what? The enemy, Satan, has asked to sift you like wheat. Guess what, Peter? I've prayed for you. And your faith is going to stay strong through it all. And you're actually going to come back, and the word says in Luke 22, verse 32, you're actually going to come back and strengthen your brothers. And how he comes back and strengthened his brothers, not because he was so prideful. He came back a very humbled man. That was when he, you know, denied Christ the three times. And he was very humble, but he also knew where his strength came from. And that was from the Lord, not from Peter. So you need to quit being so strong yourself. Look at somebody say, quit being so strong yourself. Yeah, quit being so hard-headed. Number eight, by faith. Number eight is by faith, and this is Hebrews 11, verses 33 through 34. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Their weakness was turned to strength, and they did that by faith. There's going to be a lot of times when you're fighting battles in life and things are going on, circumstances, in situation, you're going to feel very weak, and that's where you call upon the Lord by faith. And Lord, you know, I feel weak right now, but I want your strength to flow through me.
Yes.
Okay? All right, here's number nine. All of these are big ones, and I'm trying to give you just some practical things. The words we speak. Oh, my gosh, this is huge. The words we speak. Even out on the golf course. We was on the golf course this week, and I see Clark. This reminded me of it. See Clark sitting back there in Cameron. We played in this tournament up in Weatherford, and they gave us a ball. It was an orange ball that you could buy for $20, and it was a mulligan ball. And Clark, there was four of us hitting the ball, and Clark's about to hit his ball. Okay, and we're about 80 yards from the green, and before Clark was just practicing his swing there. And I was looking around at us other three guys. I was like, okay, guys, who's going to hit the orange ball for us? And Clark kind of turned around and looked at me like, dude, I hadn't even hit my ball yet. And I was like, the words we speak. My message came back to haunt me. This is on the golf course. It's anywhere in life. It's on your job, anywhere. And Clark was like, Pastor, you don't believe in me? No, I'm already thinking we got to use the orange ball, Clark. You know, guys, the words we speak, and I'm using it as a funny example, but even the words we speak over each other, you know, if you're married, if you have children, you know, watch your mouth. When I started doing this, when Jay and I started doing this, it's amazing how much we default to the negative and speak death and speak the wrong things. And that's Proverbs 18, verse 21. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or they're fruit. You choose. So I want my words to give life and to be fruitful. And so you have to watch that. And if you're married, if you have a spouse in here, help each other out in this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Fingers are pointing back at me today, because I had a situation happen here a few weeks ago where, I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but I got really down on myself. And I think sometimes my worst critic is myself. I don't know if there's anybody in here like that but me. And I got so down on myself. It's funny now thinking about it, but thank God I have a great wife. where she saw that I was down in my thoughts and everything, and she was trying to pick me back up. Now, she wasn't sugarcoating it by no means, but she was very gracious in how she was picking me back up by my bootstraps. And I told her, this is what I told Jada, my exact words. I said, if I could, I would kick my own butt right now. And Jada was like, honey, you're being too hard on yourself. I want to kick my, never mind, y'all fill in the blank. But thank God for a great wife, because she helped get me out. I just got into this depression and everything, and my own word was coming back on me, because I realized, you know what, there's been a few days here before this happened that I hadn't even got into the word, hadn't even thought about a scripture. And then that weak moment comes, and the enemy capitalizes on that moment and just puts you down. And then I'm in the mirror just telling myself all kinds of stuff. God, you're ugly, you're fat, you need to lose about 50 pounds, you know. You just need a new life, you know. And Jay was like, Mark, stop it, stop it. So thanks, babe. Sometimes you just need somebody to look at you and just say, stop it. You need to stop, just shut your mouth, shutty. So you're not speaking that over yourself and over anything else in your life. All right, number 10, praying in the Holy Spirit. Yep, we're that church. I'm already going to say it right now. Some of you are in here and going, oh my gosh, I brought a guest today and he's going to talk about this. Yep, we're that church. Because we believe in the full gospel. We believe in the book of Acts. You need to go home and read the book of Acts. But Jude 1 verse 20 says, but you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. I prayed in the Spirit this morning while I was in the shower this morning, getting ready for church. Zechariah 4, 6 says, it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So this is what I want to say in closing today. And I put a little asterisk out there by all 10 of these things in some form or fashion, they're about this. Worship, prayer, and meditating on God's word brings us into his presence. Is Sunday part of that? Yes, but you need to have the habit of worship, prayer, and meditating on God's word Monday through Saturday as well. And here's what I want to tell you. That's the secret sauce that brings God's strength into your life. That's the secret sauce. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So did everybody learn something today?
Yes.
Did everybody learn something? You go home and apply it today? Okay, good deal. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And we're going to close like we normally close here at Harvest Fellowship Church. And I just want to make sure that everybody that's here under the sound of my voice and those that are watching by Churches Aid today and on our website, hfchurch.com, and also that are going to be listening to this by radio, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul told us that all we have to do is says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. It's not about joining a church. It's not about shaking a pastor's hand or anything like that. It's about doing these things right there. Confess, believe, and call upon the name of the Lord. And so I want to have the honor and privilege of leading you in a prayer, and I call this the prayer of salvation. And even if you know you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins, and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit, so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And Jada, will you come up here? And then we're going to go back here to the back and greet everybody. Is everybody having a good summer so far?
Yes.
Everybody have a good fourth?
Yes.
Good deal. All right, I want to speak this blessing over you today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Be sure and get the vegetables that Dad and Judy brought. If you guys want some garden fresh vegetables, we got a bunch back there in the kitchen. God bless you guys. Be strong. Have a good week.